king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Matthew 25:40. Hi, I'm Rob West. Some exciting things are happening that will give you more ways to help the least of these in God's kingdom. Brian Holtz joins us today with details about how we can all have the greatest impact in helping those in need. And then we'll take your phone calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's great to have Brian Holtz with us again. Brian is the CEO of Compass Financial Ministry. He's a great friend and partner. And Brian, great to have you back.
It's my pleasure, Rob.
When you were on the show a few months back, Brian, you introduced a powerful new resource, a small group video study called Making Ends Meet, created to help struggling families move toward financial stability. You also shared some insights into the real challenges these families are facing. It's been a while, so could you remind us of what Compass set out to accomplish with this project and how you approach the problem?
Yeah, we and other ministries have generally focused on middle and upper income levels, largely because we're all a little puzzled when we work with someone who truly doesn't have the financial margin they need. Not just that they're prioritizing poorly, but that they just don't have the income to meet their basic expenses. But the team at Compass felt God pushing us to address this, so we partnered with several organizations who specialize in this area of helping struggling families, and we learned what unique issues we needed to address from a biblical perspective.
Well, I'm so glad you did. This is such a vital conversation. So how can we truly help those in need? Is it as simple as giving money, or is there a more effective, perhaps lasting way to serve them well?
That certainly is the question. And during the project, we learned some things that were both surprising and some things that were not surprising at all. To begin, I'll plant my flag firmly on what doesn't create lasting change, and that's just giving money to poor people and poor communities. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. In fact, the passage you opened with today encourages us to provide physically for the poor. It just means we shouldn't expect deep life transformation as a result of only financial assistance. It may provide relief, but it'll almost always be temporary. Study after study, both from faith-based and secular research, continues to disprove the idea that simply injecting money into poverty solves the problem or even provides any lasting change at all.
Yeah, so clearly we've uncovered what doesn't work here, but what are some better, perhaps more effective ways to respond?
The better option is actually quite obvious. You provide not only financial assistance, but also relational assistance along with it. Think about it this way. Jesus didn't just go around helping people out of a jam and then leaving. He would invite them to follow him, to have their lives changed at a deeper level, far beyond physical relief. When we invest relationally in people, the change is more impactful and longer lasting.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when you put it like that, it does seem pretty clear. By walking alongside them on the journey to stability, you're really engaging in discipleship, aren't you?
Absolutely. Because you've stepped up financially, you have stronger relational credibility. And because you have stronger relational credibility, you're able to help them better use the financial gift. Not as a mandate of, "I'll only give you money if," but from a heart of truly wanting what's best for them.
Well, that's powerful, but I'm guessing there's a reason we don't turn to that right away.
There is. One of the biggest reasons is that poor communities are extremely interdependent. Like we see in the Church of Acts, these communities share their resources and belongings, and it's their community's culture to care for one another. That, of course, is a great thing, but when someone in that community has the opportunity to get out of poverty, it actually carries with it a lot of anxiety. Think about it this way. If all of a sudden I have money and my friends still don't, will they accept me anymore? If I lose my community, where will I fit in? These are real issues. And if we're trying to help someone navigate through them, we've got to be committed with our time and prayers for the long run.
Yeah, that makes sense, Brian. All right, we're about out of time. But before we go, how can listeners learn more?
Absolutely. The Making Ends Meet study gives folks who are already investing in their communities an easy-to-follow plan. Visit us at compassfinancialministry.org to learn more.
Folks, this is such an important study. It can help you serve those in your community that are in this place of need. It's called Making Ends Meet. The study is available at compassfinancialministry.org. That's compassfinancialministry.org. Brian, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
We've got to take a quick break, but much more just around the corner. If you have a question today, call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Picture a battlefield. On one side, nothing but soldiers with guns. On the other, tanks and jets. Which side do you think will win? Well, with the military technology of the ancient world being described, Psalm 20 makes an astonishing statement. It says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." God's people were being assured of their victory in battle despite their lack of heavy weaponry. Why? Because they trusted in the name of the Lord. His strength is greater than the strength of the world, and truly, the battle does belong to the Lord. You'll get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
I'm talking about Donald Trump, the human being. I'm talking about how a person that's 78 years old, he was giving speeches up until
3 in 1 day.
I'd like to write a book on how he does
What's his vitamin regimen?
How many Big Macs you should have.
What if Big Macs and no exercise are actually the things that make you stronger?
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, I'm back in the saddle today, ready for your financial questions. I was off last week on vacation with my family, and great to have all four of our kids together. You know, in this season of life, I've got one in college, three in high school, although our second oldest just graduated from high school, so about to have two in college. And as you might imagine, getting everybody together is no small feat. And so we actually identified this last week as the only week we're all going to be in the same place. So we took a trip together, and it was a huge blessing. But grateful for time with family, but also grateful for the opportunity to serve the Lord through the work that He's called me to. And that includes this program. So delighted to be with you today. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions on anything financial today, whatever's going on in your financial life, perhaps something you're wrestling with, something you're excited about, maybe something that's keeping you up at night related to managing God's money. We'd love to tackle it here with you, provide some wise counsel because it comes from God's word, not from me, but also to be an encouragement to you, but to be theologically sound. You know, we want to approach this understanding we should have reverence toward God's word. And so whatever you're wrestling with today, go ahead and call right now. We'd love to take your calls. We have lines open at the moment, but that probably won't last long. So here's the number to get in on the conversation today with any financial question. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Our team is standing by. We'll begin taking those calls here in just a moment. But first, in the news today, a new report by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services reveals that taking a more hands-on approach to long-term care planning can make a huge difference when it comes to costs. Here's what experts recommend. First, start early. It's never too soon to begin planning. So talk to your family about long-term care needs and finances before the situation becomes urgent. Consider family help. Think about who in your family might help with care. Could they offer financial support? Start those conversations now. Make your home ready. If you want to stay in your home, now's the time to make sure it's set up for the future. So small adjustments like removing stairs or widening doorways can make a big difference. Prepare financially. Look into long-term care insurance. Having a plan in place will keep you from scrambling later on. Next, it's a good idea to get a long-term care policy in place between 55 and 65. That's going to be the ideal time. Certainly, if you can do that in your 50s, even better. Get the longest term possible, and that will help to keep the premiums lower. But, you know, I think the key here is that, you know, you recognize these policies are expensive, and you need to have room in your budget for there to be premium increases. They do go up, and they have gone up dramatically as the cost of healthcare has gone up with them. So you want a carrier that's committed to this space, and it really has been reduced to, you know, probably 5 or 6 key players in this space that are committed to the long haul, to long-term care insurance. You will also want to make sure that you have, I would recommend at least, an independent agent who can help you find the best policy and company, because depending on your health status, you may find that one company looks more favorably on that from an underwriting and a premium standpoint than another. And so you'll certainly want to get with that company, so long as it's got good financial strength, and they are rated and reviewed. So you'll want to check that as well. But again, make sure you can absorb those premium increases. Here's the reality. 70% of Americans over 65 will need some sort of long-term care, usually between 18 months and 3 years. And full nursing care can run $100,000 a year or more. And so you having a policy that if it doesn't cover 100% of that, would at least shoulder some of that financial burden, it could be the difference in you eroding your assets and needing to depend on a Medicaid-approved facility. So check it out. This is probably the biggest financial risk in this season of life, is the need for expensive long-term care. But the key is, a few small steps now can give you peace of mind later. All right, let's dive into your questions today. Again, the lines are open. We're ready for you. If you have a financial question of any sort, go ahead and call right now, 800-525-7000. Sandy standing by to take your calls today. All right, we're going to dive in here in Oregon is where we'll begin. Hi, Lynn. How can we help you?
Good morning. I'm thinking of putting some money into a fixed indexed annuity. It's tied to the NASDAQ FC index. And I'm wondering if what you think of that product, and if there, it seems like I remember you mentioning reviewing agencies and what their rating should optimally be.
Yeah, very good. Yes. So, you know, fixed indexed annuities can be a decent option for retirees. It's really for those seeking principal protection with some market linked growth. So it's kind of a middle ground between a fixed annuity, which would be a lower return with a guaranteed rate, and a variable annuity, just straight variable annuity with a little bit of an elevated risk. So they credit interest based on an index. Now, in your case, what was the index you said it was linked to?
It's linked to a NASDAQ F as in Frank, C as in Charles index.
Okay.
Yeah, so the NASDAQ FC. So, yeah, that would, you know, be a little more concentrated just because the NASDAQ is going to be more heavily focused toward the tech industry and in particular, more of those big tech stocks that are mega cap, meaning they're, you know, they're large in size. And so is this a Bank of America product or something else?
Yes.
Okay. No, yeah,
it's a Bank of America product. Yes, you're correct.
I've seen that. Yeah, and so it's linked to the NASDAQ 100, which you know has Apple and Amazon, and so it is going to provide potentially a little bit more in the way of return, but a little less diversified and a little more concentrated into one particular sector of the market. How does this fit alongside other investments? What else would you have alongside this?
Well, that's about a half of my 401k, maybe a third actually of it. And then I also have about the same amount in stocks that I manage. Then I also have some CDs that altogether are maybe half of this amount as well. And I do have an emergency fund.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, no, I wouldn't be opposed to this necessarily. I just think, you know, the downside to these indexed annuities is that, you know, you're going to have your returns capped. And so you're giving up that cap in exchange for that down, or you're taking on the cap in exchange for the downside protection, which is why they're not my favorite tool. Now, if that gives you the peace of mind, and for this portion of your investment portfolio, you want to be able to have that floor, and therefore you're willing to give up, you know, the upside, then certainly this could have a place, especially since it sounds like the other investments you have unlimited upside potential. It's just that when you look at the performance of the stock market, whether it's the S&P or the NASDAQ, you know, the average annual returns that we see over the long haul do well when you can capture 100% of the upside in those years where the market's just really taken off, and you're going to give up that in the fixed, you know, indexed annuity, which is, you know, that trade-off that you're going to get. So it's not my first choice, but do I have a problem with this? No, they're complicated. So you just need to understand kind of the calculations and how they're all, you know, how that's going to affect the ultimate returns that you're getting. I've got to take a break. Stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air. We'll be right back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
I am thoroughly looking forward to our Weekend with AFA coming up in October, where we're going to be able to meet our supporters like yourself, to fellowship, to visit our facilities here in Tupelo, and to have everyone come together for a wonderful weekend.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of Faith Fi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. That number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to dive into whatever's going on in your financial life today, helping you apply biblical wisdom and make a decision with confidence so you can move forward practically. And we realize whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing, there's lots of questions that come up as you manage God's money, and we'd love to be that sounding board for you. Again, that number to call, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We were talking before the break with Lynn about annuities. You know, just generally, here's my thoughts on annuities is they're not my first choice. I've said that quite a bit. The reason is that they tend to be complex. They usually have high fees. So you might have 1% to 2% for riders, plus surrender charges, at least for the first 7 to 10 years. And that cuts into returns compared to a diversified portfolio. They have limited liquidity, so they have longer lockup periods that restrict access. And if you need the funds, that's a concern, or it can be. They're complex. And so terms like caps, what we were talking about with Lynn, where you have a cap on your upside, or you have a participation rate where you only get a portion of the upside in the case of the indexed annuities, is, I think, something that most people just don't quite understand. And what are called bonuses often confuse investors. And I think that's where it really can require a fiduciary, somebody who's acting on your behalf and is required to be able to review it for you, not somebody who's incented to sell the product because they're going to get some sort of commission, but really the person, you know, that would be serving in your best interest to look it over and say, how does this fit with my overall investment strategy? I will also say the other downside is the lower returns. So in many cases, they will underperform stocks, especially for younger retirees that are in their early 60s. Now, why do people use them? They're not all bad at all. The reason would be if you're looking for guaranteed income. So you're looking for a steady payment for life or for a set period, that's ideal for retirement security. So think somebody, you know, that is in that season of life saying, listen, Social Security is not going to get it done. I have a lump sum of investable assets, and I'd like to be able to convert that to an income stream for myself or myself plus my spouse for the rest of our lives. And we just see great value in that. Tax deferral. So earnings can grow tax-free until withdrawal. There is that principal protection, so you can get that downside floor, which shields against market losses. And then they do have these customizable riders. Even though you'll pay for them, they have options like death benefits or long-term care coverage, where I started in the last segment. That adds some flexibility. So again, not all bad, and I'm not one who says there's never a place for an annuity. For the right purpose, if you understand, you have somebody who's a fiduciary looking it over, you've got the right product for you, you've compared against the others, you understand the complexity, you're willing to live with the limited liquidity, then again, these can have a place as a part of an overall financial plan. So hopefully that helps as we think about all these different products that tend to be somewhat confusing that are out there to be considered in your own financial plan. All right, let's dive into some more questions here today. Again, that number 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go out to Ohio. Hi, Sally. Thanks for your call today. How can I help?
Well, hi. Thank you. I listen to you pretty much daily. My dad was an accountant, but I did not inherit his talent.
That's great. I appreciate your call today, and thanks for being a faithful listener. How can I serve you today?
Well, I have inherited a portion of my brother's late brother and late sister-in-law's living trust, and I got the idea that I could put my three children as beneficiaries, but I was told I could not, that I'd had to do either make my own trust or just, you know, get rid of the money all out. But then I was worried about tax implications on that.
Yes.
Now, I have a lady who does my investments that, for my late husband and myself. And she's going to be looking into it, but I just wanted to get a hold of how things stand.
Yes, very good. So what is the status of the assets of the trust where you were the beneficiary? Have they been distributed to you, or are they still in the trust currently?
Yes, a major portion has been distributed. There will be a little bit distributed later after all costs are done from the trustee's point of view.
Okay, got it.
I have the money. I have opened a trust and it's called the Houston Living Trust. So,
very good. Yeah, so that's the way that would typically work. You would inherit a portion of a living trust, and then if you wanted to redirect that to your children, normally the trust would generally have an outright distribution to you, and then you could gift the assets to your children up to $19,000 per child in 2025. And then beyond that, you'd have to file gift tax form 709 and just let the IRS know about it. If the trust restricts any distributions held for your benefit, then you would need trustee approval or, again, a new trust. So if you make the direct gift now, you could just transfer the cash or assets to your children's name, and then you'd file that gift tax return Form 709 over $19,000, but there's no taxes involved other than reporting unless your lifetime gifts exceed $13.6 million in total based on the way the law is today. The second option would be you create a trust. So you set up a revocable living trust, naming your children as beneficiaries. That would avoid probate, similar to what happened with you with your brother and sister-in-law. And then the children would get the trust based on or the assets of the trust based on the trust's directives at death, or if you were incapacitated or whatever the trust says. So that would be the normal protocol, but you're right. You wouldn't be able to do it through their trust. Hang on the line. We'll talk a bit more. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Funds Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
What could convince a skeptic that the Bible is true? A scientific discovery? A prophecy fulfilled? An amazing archaeological find? Is that a question you should even ask? Is there anything you can do to convince people that the Bible is true? Consider that as John MacArthur continues a study that is all about making a case for the Bible on the next Grace to You.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Are you looking for a financial professional who shares your Christian values and offers advice you can trust? Certified Kingdom Advisors are experienced financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program rooted in biblical financial wisdom. They meet high standards of integrity, competence, and stewardship, helping you honor God with all He's entrusted to you. To find a certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a Professional.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is where we help you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. You can call right now if you have a question on any financial topic, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Sally in Ohio. She's inherited her brother and sister-in-law's trust, or at least a portion of it. She wants to know how she can put that in her children's names. And I was saying, normally you'd either receive a direct gift out of the trust, or in some cases, the trust might restrict distributions held for your benefit. But ultimately, to get those to your children, you would either make that direct gift while you're alive, or you could create your own trust, which it sounds like you've done, and then you would essentially just move those assets into your new trust, and then you would set that trust up to distribute those assets to your children based on certain triggering events, your passing, them reaching a certain age, things like that. So that would typically be the way that you would handle that, and there would not likely be any taxes involved, because any taxes that would have been owed by your brother and sister-in-law's estate would have been paid by the estate before you got them, and you won't have any inheritance tax on what you received. And depending on the size of your estate, at least based on the laws today, you'd have to have an estate over $13 million before you would have any estate taxes. So there's really not anything to consider there. It's really about having the trust, which handles the efficient distribution of these assets to your children, at your death. Does that make sense?
Yes. I have one more question.
Sure.
Now, I have not done anything else except I've accepted and set up the trust with the initial payment money in it. You had mentioned $19,000 up to $19,000. That's tax-free, or would they have, after that, would they have to, since they're going to have to file with the IRS, will that be taxable to them?
It will not. No. So what happens is that gift tax form, when you go over $19,000 per person, and if you were married, you and your spouse could each do $19,000, so you'd have $38,000. But let's just stick with the $19,000. So $19,000 to any individual. As soon as you go beyond that, in terms of an outright gift, and this is not when we put it in the trust, that's different. This is when you make a direct gift. You can do $19,000 a year. If you go over that, you would just fill out that gift tax form that would essentially let the IRS know that you've gone beyond the annual gift exclusion, and then that's going to start chipping away at the lifetime gift exclusion of $13 million. So there's no taxes for you or them unless, you know, you exceed the $13.6 million.
We'll never get there.
Okay, then it's not an issue. Now, that number could be adjusted in future legislation, but that's the number today.
Sure. Oh, well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Sally. Listen, all the best to you. Call anytime.
Have a blessed day. Thank
you. You too. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle any financial questions you have today. One more time, 800-525-7000. We do have a few lines open. You know, we often get the question, speaking of a trust with that last caller, of what is the difference between a will and a trust. Let me help you with that because, you know, this comes up so frequently. Essentially, a will is a legal document dictating how your assets, so think home, savings, other assets, are distributed after death. The benefit of the trust is it's simple, it's inexpensive, less than $500 typically. It's very effective for small estates, and it ensures your wishes are followed. There's another big key distinction here with a will, and that is the will is going to name the guardian of your children. So if you have minors at home, you need a will, absolutely, for a lot of reasons, but certainly one of them is that you have that guardian named, so there's no question as to who would be responsible for caring for your kids in the event of your death. In terms of the downside of a will, well, it requires probate. So, you know, that can run 4 to 6 months. There can be, you know, an expense associated with that, maybe 1 to 3% of the estate. It might run, you know, $2,000 to $5,000 at a minimum. It's a part of the public record. And the will gives no control of your assets during life. So in the event you're incapacitated, nobody can step in. The will only goes into effect at death. All right, let's talk about that living trust, or what's called often a revocable living trust, meaning it can be changed. A revocable entity holds assets during your life and then distributes them at death, bypassing probate. And it aligns with something called a ladybird deed interest. The upside is, again, it avoids probate, which makes it private. And again, it manages assets if you're incapacitated. So if in the event you can no longer make certain decisions, then the trustee can step in while you're still alive, but incapacitated. It's also flexible for complex estates, and it can reduce estate taxes with planning. But again, often estate taxes are not an issue just based on the current laws. It's more expensive. So it can run $1,000 to $3,000 or more to set up, and then requires retitling assets. Because remember, once the trust is created, it does you no good unless the assets of your estate are retitled in the name of the trust, and it doesn't inherently shield from creditors if you're looking for creditor protection. So bottom line, a will triggers probate and only works after death. A trust skips probate and offers lifetime control and suits your planning. For an inherited trust, a new trust, in the case of our previous caller, for your kids, ensures control and tax efficiency, unlike the will that's a bit simpler but a slower process. So at the end of the day, I would encourage you to consult an estate attorney for these types of matters. That individual can help you think through the pros and cons depending on your situation, and then make sure that after all the questions are asked and answered, that you ultimately have what's put in place being legal and in compliance with the laws of your state, which remember, it is state law that governs all of this. And so it's really important to have an attorney to be able to guide you through all of that. Now, I realize there's a lot of online tools, and here's what I would say. An online tool is better than nothing, and they are certainly more cost-effective. My preference is when it comes to things like selling a home, managing your investable assets, and putting your estate plan in order, including drafting legal documents, I just think it's better to, you know, bear the expense of paying somebody to do that for you to ensure that you you do it properly. Bottom line is, you know, wise counsel is something we see clearly affirmed in Scripture, and I would certainly agree that it is it's worth having somebody walking alongside you, helping you navigate these decisions. So hopefully that helps clear up differences between wills and trusts, and I know there's a lot of confusion about those. And, you know, the key is make sure you're well planned. We just don't want you, you know, to get to a place where you don't have life insurance in place, you don't have a will, you create confusion or complexity for your heirs after your death during an already difficult season. Having a will or in trust is going to ensure, alongside other tools like powers of attorney and healthcare surrogates and living wills, that you have all of those decisions made in advance. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Dahl stops by to give us an update on the markets, and then we'll jump into a few more questions today. Calls are coming in. We'll get to as many calls as we can in our final segment. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't, and then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com. And by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment as we round out the final segment here today. We've got room for perhaps one or two additional calls, 800-525-7000. But first, let's talk the markets. The market selling off ever so slightly to start the trading week. Good news is Bob Dahl's here to make sense of it all. Bob is our resident market guy. He's the CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. And Bob, here we go. Beginning a new week, I'd love to hear your thoughts just on where we find ourselves.
You know, just in the short term, you already commented, the Moody's, as you know, downgraded the debt of the U.S. Friday evening, and the opening this morning was pretty ugly, but we've bounced pretty far back. The Dow's almost flat, as you know, Rob, so I guess people are shrugging that off. It is a problem, that is the debt and the deficit and interest expense. But it's not a problem that's going to kind of do us in today, tomorrow, the next day. It just works over time. So we drop back to thinking about the economy and earnings and valuation levels and all those good things, Rob.
Yeah, it seemed like it came a little bit out of nowhere. Was that something anybody was expected, Bob? And is there any significance to it?
Not in particular on Friday afternoon. Now, there are 3 rating agencies. 2 of them had already downgraded us in weeks and months past from the highest to the second highest. And Moody's was the only one that still kept us at the highest. So they're just catching up in some sense. And I think that's part of why people are shrugging it off and say, well, there's no news here.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob, what about the overall health of the economy? I know there's always a plethora of data pouring in. So share the latest with us.
Yeah, this is going to be a pretty sparse week for new economic activity. So the dialogue will continue to be the tug of war between the hard data and the soft data. Soft data are surveys. How are people feeling? Consumers, businesses. And as you know, Rob, that soft data has really fallen off a cliff in the last couple of months since the tariffs were announced. The hard data, the actual economic statistics, have hung in there. They've weakened a bit, but not all that much. Soft data usually precedes hard data, which implies we're going to get some more difficult hard data numbers in the weeks and months to come, and that's what people are watching like a hawk.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, I mean, you've got to acknowledge the resiliency of this U.S. economy despite everything we've faced, you know, over the last 6 months and even before that, right?
It is true, and it starts with the U.S. consumer. Consumers in the United States, as they say, we're born to shop. When we feel good, we shop. When we feel not so good, we shop more.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that is true. No doubt about it. Bob, what about the bond market? There's been a lot of talk just about the response of the 10-year and the 30-year, you know, not only because of, you know, what's happening with the tariffs, but also, you know, the Moody's rating cut on top of it.
Yeah, the tariffs, the Moody's rating, and inflation. Inflationary expectations on the part of U.S. citizenry continue to move higher, a lot of that related to the tariffs. So the bond market has sold off. Interest rates have moved up. The 10-year Treasury yield, as you undoubtedly know, is a little over 5%. That's the first time we've seen that in a couple of years, Rob.
Yeah. So that's just something to keep an eye on at this point, or a real cause for concern?
I don't want to get too short term, but the technicians are watching 4.60 on the 10-year, which is at 4.50 currently, and been moving higher, and 5%. Of course, we've moved past that on the 30-year, and it is. Should we be concerned about the debt and the deficits and inflation and the tariffs, and that could cause valuation problems for the stock market and at least prevent it from going higher, if not taking some wind out of the sails.
Bob, obviously the president's agenda around tax cuts, or at least making those cuts permanent, but then adding some to them is a big piece. I know we had some positive movement over the weekend. You know, how much of that do you think is priced into the market, you know, versus that spurring a rally if we were to see something happen this summer?
So we're between the rock and the hard place. We can pass this bill, which is deficit busting once again, or we can say no way, no how. And accept the largest tax increase in the United States on December 31st. So, like I said, we're between a rock and a hard place. My guess is the bill that's narrowly passed, as some of the deficit hawks voted present instead of no, that there'll be more to-ing and fro-ing, some setbacks, and we'll finally get something done, and then we have to deal with the Senate and try to get a compromise there. So hard yards ahead, but Lord willing, we'll get something done, and we can move forward.
Yeah. I know Kevin Hassett was out talking about just the significance of the fact that I think the U.S. economy, based on the projections of the deficit on the heels of this bill, if it passes, would be only based on the economy growing fairly modestly, and that President Trump is setting us up for more pronounced growth, not maybe 1.5%, but more like, you know, high twos. Obviously, that kind of growth would solve a lot of these problems, would it not?
It sure would, Rob, but we come back to, can we really grow at those numbers? Yeah. We need more laborers here in the U.S. to get that done. We need more productivity. And I think getting much past 2% growth in the U.S. on a sustained basis is going to be difficult.
Yeah, very good. All right, Bob. Well, it's always helpful to hear your insights, my friend. Thanks for your time today.
buy low, sell high, and don't forget it.
Amen. God bless you, my friend. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Sign up for his weekly commentary, Dahl's Deliberations, at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, back to the phones. We'll try to get to as many calls as we can here before we round out the broadcast. Perhaps room for one more, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Jody. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. I have some money in a credit union that I need to move somewhere where it can draw some interest. I have a Fidelity account that I thought about. I just recently found out that I could use to invest in or through, but I thought about putting it over there. I think it's drawing about 4%. So I was wondering about the difference between either putting it there or in an online bank, and what would be the benefit of doing one or the other.
Yeah. Well, what kind of product? Is it just their money market or something?
Yeah, I just thought about it. I have an account over there that I would just move it over into cash.
Yeah.
And I think that they're paying about a little over 4%.
Okay. Yeah, money market accounts are generally safe and are FDIC insured. So from a safety standpoint, there shouldn't be any difference between what you're getting there at Fidelity and what you'd get at an online bank. The rates have pulled back. I mean, so you might be able to find, you know, nationally at an online bank, something, you know, 4.25 to 4.4%. So could you get a little more yield out of it by moving to an online bank? Yes, but not a whole lot more. And so I think probably just the simplicity of moving it into an account you've already got, you know, if they're giving you something that's competitive, and I would say 4% certainly is, then I think the hassle factor of you not having to add one more account that requires opening it and maintaining it and keeping up with it, you know, is probably not worth the extra yield you would get on this money. So I think all things being equal, I'd probably just stick with what you got.
Perfect. All right. That's what I was wondering. I just recently found out that I could use that, and they actually have a way that you can use it as a checking account as well. So
there you go.
I just didn't know about that until recently.
Yeah, I think that's a great option. I think that'll work well for you. And again, you know, there's something to be said about just simplifying your financial life and having everything in one place.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Absolutely,
you.
Jody. Thanks for your call, sir. We appreciate you. Well, folks, you know, as we think about just navigating, I mean, Bob just talked about it, all the uncertainty that's out there. I think it's important to realize this, and that is economic uncertainty is certain. And it's nothing new. It's something Scripture prepares us for. But here's the key. Wisdom helps us respond with trust in God and allows us to maintain our generosity toward others and to be faithful stewards rather than operating out of fear. And, you know, I think that needs to be our goal. I mean, listen, there's all kinds of uncertainty swirling out there. It looks different today than it looked a decade ago or a decade before that. It was just different in terms of the factors that make it up. But uncertainty is always here. But we can trust in our God, who is in control of everything, and he is certain. We've been spending a lot of time in the book of Ecclesiastes lately. We've got a study coming out this month called Wisdom Over Wealth. It takes a deep dive into this rich wisdom book in God's Word. Listen to what we read in Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other. You see, I think this is a reminder that God is sovereign over both abundance and adversity. He doesn't waste any season. And so whether the financial markets are up or down, he remains in control and is always at work for our good and his glory. You see, we can't predict what's going to happen with our investments or even our income for that matter, but we can choose to live wisely and walk in the fear of the Lord. Wisdom will always be more valuable than wealth, because it teaches us to trust God more deeply. We're not promised a smooth path, but we are called to walk through hard times with hearts anchored to his character. So what do? Well, we recognize God owns it all. We live on less than we earn. We avoid debt. We have some margin or some liquidity. We set long-term goals. We give generously, because that giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. And we trust in the name of the Lord our God. He is certain. His promises are true. He is trustworthy, and he will never abdicate his role as provider to anyone or anything else. I hope today's been an encouragement to you. Our goal, to help you be a wise and faithful steward. Thanks to my team today, Sandy, Jim, Devin, and everybody here at Faith 5. If you want to support our work, become a partner at faith5.com. Just click give. Hope you have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.